Welcome to another episode of The Powerful Project. We are going to talk about body neutrality, and that is a mindset that encourages you to view your body as it is rather than going into, oh, too positive, too negative, or judging your appearance. And I think it's really important that we acknowledge that is even a thing. Like, you don't have to just hate your body or be overly positive in love with your body, and that there is just a neutral way. Like, your body is there to do things for you, and as things that it can do, you should be proud of it, but you don't have to go and tell yourself you're amazing every single day. But you also don't have to look in the mirror and be like, shit, I'm fat every single day either. So just looking in the mirror, I'm like, hey, today's a good day. Like, it's a good day. I'm good. And not going too far either way. And I think that's something that isn't really talked about a lot, that there is like a neutral opposition to it as well.
Yeah, I really wanted to talk about this topic today because of that fact. Almost every area of our lives tends to be extremes. It's like, okay, you're a body positivity person, so that means you accept and love every single part of yourself and don't want anything to change. Or you're someone who's extremely self-critical and you want everything to change. And there's a beautiful place in between that we can practice that can help so many women learn more acceptance of themselves. And body neutrality is a concept I've been seeing around a little bit more and started to look into it more myself, because I found that is how I have had a lot more healthy relationship with my body and myself. Because you don't necessarily have to absolutely adore every single part of yourself, but it is important to accept that that is who you are, that is where you're at, and that's okay. And everyone is okay just the way that they are currently. But that also means that you don't necessarily have to identify as someone who doesn't want to change anything. Yeah. It's okay to want to have healthier behaviors and make some improvements. But at the same time, you don't have to be someone who's constantly cutting yourself down all the time or always being self-critical, because that is such a huge part of female mental health problems is our bodies, body image. All of us have had layers and layers and layers of pressure growing up on how our bodies look. V and I were just having a few little talks off recording about just some little situations when we were kids that we still remember to this day about having our bodies discussed. Like, in one of them, I was compared by one of my friend's mums as being more solid than her, which is a totally, you know, it's an objective thing that she thought, but that has stuck with me for the rest of my life as a young girl, thinking what solid meant. And then that started to grow as being like, oh, no, no, you're fat. You need to lose weight. Or always having people comment on your skin or your hair or your, body shape is the most common one. And that being a stickler for so many negative associations with your body for the rest of your life.
I remember being in school and you had to go into this health thing and you got your BMI done. And me and my friend were always taller, smaller side, quite lean, small humans, and both of us always got to those BMI things, and we were always told that we're always underweight, and then we would get so much shit from our friends like, oh, you're underweight.
Also, the fact that was publicly put out there is horrible.
Well, I don't think it was publicly put out, but then you go out and then everyone's like, oh, what did you get? Okay, you know, like school things. And then us two were always underweight and we didn't like it. And then I would go home and I'd be like, oh, I'm like skinny, blah, blah, blah. And my mom would always tell me off for telling myself that I'm skinny. She's like, you're small, you're tiny, but don't call yourself skinny. And she has like this massive thing about skinny is like bad. So it was quite funny, because when she came over here recently, there's like something and I'm like, yeah, mom, you like skinny. And then she's like, no, don't call me skinny. Like, you can't do that. I'm like, sorry, like I didn't mean it in a bad way. But it's quite interesting to see how you have these attachments to these words and they're like something negative, where if I told someone else, hey, you're really skinny, they're like, oh my God, thank you. If I tell my mom, like, you're skinny, she's like, no, that's offensive. Like, I don't want to be told I'm skinny. I'm like, that's quite careful, which really shows you that you shouldn't ever comment on anyone's body, because you don't know how they're going to perceive it and what they've been through, maybe, like, if they had an eating disorder, if they had other eating issues, or how their self-worth is with themselves. Like, you commenting on someone's body is just not acceptable at any stage. If it's a compliment, let's be honest, I don't know about you, but I feel like a better compliment to me is like, oh, hey, you look really happy, or like, oh my gosh, you're doing really well. Comment on something that's not your appearance is a much nicer compliment than like, hey, you're hot. like, cool, thanks. That's
perception. Or if you do know someone enough, something that they, you know, they will be happy with is fine. Not as a validating thing, but just, you know, if you've been working on your glutes and your butt looks great.
That's a different story.
A comment like that is fabulous. And they're your friend and you know them inside and out. It can help someone. But at the same time, it's learning in yourself to have a little bit more self-resilience and building up after all these experiences in your life to have some neutrality with your body can help make these comments, as you get a little bit older, less painful and less mean less. Because obviously when we're growing up as young girls, everyone's words mean the whole world to you. Mm-hmm. Like that's how you're perceiving who you are and how other people perceive you, and you're figuring out who you are. So little tiny comments or nasty comments from mean girls or a message from someone can be the end of the world for a teenage girl.
I just remembered I was 14, 15, and I liked this guy, and my friend asked the guy if he liked me back. And he said to her, now she's too skinny.
Oh, no.
How crazy. That's rough. Like, whoa. And that's when I, like, things have changed. Like, I always wanted to become strong after that. And that's why I would never say never. But that's why I've never wanted to do a bodybuilding show, because I don't want to be the skinny person.
Yeah. So crazy. See how that created a belief for the whole rest of your life.
Crazy.
Being skinny equals unlovable by men or something like that. You're like,
what the heck?
That's hectic. Yeah, literally a single moment in time can create this huge ongoing issue. And I know lots of girls have had hectic bullying when they were younger as well, which can obviously have caused more trauma than even what we're talking about now. I've been very grateful and lucky, I think. Most of them were small comments, passing by comments, not someone constantly berating you about how you look and how you how much weight you are, and being praised when you were skinnier or leaner. Mm-hmm. Well, for you it was the other way around. Being praised for being leaner usually, and then being told, oh gosh, you need to lose some weight if you're a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Or as you're going through changes in your body and puberty, and as you're learning about yourself, and as you're going through the ups and downs of bodies, which they do, all those little tiny comments can add up to having a really, really negative body image. And so much of it is like, okay, now the body positivity scene comes up and people are just like, cool, now you just have to love all of that, that has all those years of beliefs on it that have told you you're unlovable or not beautiful or not worthy. And it's important to start developing towards that mindset to actually have a really solid sense of self. But it can feel almost impossible to go from this body that I've judged my whole life, how can I suddenly love? Mm-hmm. Whereas instead, if you can start to understand that you can accept who you are and what you've got and what your body can do, it can build towards that relationship of actual eventual love. But body neutrality can also be very powerful, because if somebody says, oh, your legs are a little bit bigger than they used to be, you might, yeah, maybe they are. Cool. I've been working out a little bit more. Or, hey, I've been on a holiday and I've been eating a little bit more. Had the time of my life. And it was fine. If you have self-acceptance and also self-awareness of where you're at in your life and what you're working on, and you don't mind, it is a powerful place to be in. And I'm not pretending I'm perfect. Comments will still affect me. It can be vain from time to time. But having this attitude is extremely important to be aware of, because you can hear a comment, feel that it might have pained you a little bit or affected you, and be like, why? Why did that affect me? What can I be more neutral about in my body? Or I think it's particularly important on the days where you're having a bit of a bad body image day, where you're having a look in the mirror and you're starting to pick apart like your skin or your, you know, cellulite or a little bit of body fat around your belly, or you're bloated, it's your period and you're just feeling shit. Those days are where this skill comes in handy to help you to start developing some awareness. Yeah. Like, okay, maybe I'm just feeling a little bit bloated this time.
Yeah.
It's totally fine. I'm still going to go out into the world, wear some clothes I'm comfy in, and feel good in my skin.
Yeah. How good are oversized shirts, guys?
Oversized shirts.
Just wear an oversized shirt to the gym on those days. It's the best thing ever. But I had the same experience with one of my friends recently, and we were in the gym together, and she's like, oh, I just feel like really fat. And I'm like, hold on.
Hold that.
Stop right there. Don't let that period in a mean girl take over. Don't tell yourself you're fat. Like, don't do that. Don't go to the other side. Mm. You don't have to tell yourself you're the most amazing human every single day either. But it's really, really important to have a neutral thing. And you're like, hey, I'm on a period. Yeah, I'm not feeling the best today. Cool. But don't say, hey, you're fat.
You don't swing the pendulum.
Yeah, like go the other way and be like, oh, I'm like really, I don't know, chubby, whatever. Oh, my legs are thick, blah, blah, blah. You just have to be mindful of what language you use. And I find it especially around like premenstrual and pre-period or on your period, you are feeling a bit more fluffy and you're feeling a bit like meh.
It also doesn't help that the correlation in your hormonal drop happens at the same time when you do start feeling a little bit more self-critical and down, and anxiety levels can rise. It happens at the exact same time that you might be holding a little bit more fluid. What a great time.
Welcome to being female.
Brilliant.
We have to put up with so much stuff.
I know.
But it's just really, really important that you acknowledge that that inner mean girl in your head, I like to call it the inner mean girl, isn't true. Like, it's not true what she's telling you, and just quiet her down and reform the thoughts. I'm like, yeah, I'm not feeling amazing today and that's okay. I've just got to rest, do some other stuff rather than looking in the mirror and focusing on the way I look.
I think as soon as you're starting that hyperfixation process of looking at all the things that you need to work on and fix and make better and this isn't good enough and what will people think, it's time to take that step away from the mirror, go do something that's good for you and that's going to make you feel better and get that more neutral acceptance of your body. Because at the end of the day, no one else, unless they're dickheads, are picking your body to pieces.
Yeah.
Your friends and your family love you the way you are. And the comments don't mean that you're unlovable. They don't mean that they don't want you. It's just usually if there are objective comments from others, they don't actually mean as much as what you are perceiving them to. And at the end of the day, they're not going to help change you at all.
And it often shows that these people have actually issues.
They have their own issues,
Their own body image issues. And it's hard to rise above them and rise above like what other people say, but you kind of have to. And you just have to acknowledge that they're probably coming from a hurt place and you don't know what's going on with them. And yes, they hurt you and it's not acceptable. Their behavior isn't acceptable at all. But I like to remind myself, I'm like, well, they're probably in a worse position than I am if they have to say negative, nasty things like that.
And that's why I think this is so important to work on. If your body image is taking up so much of your life and so much of your consciousness, how much is that taking away from your life? Like, it's a huge amount of mental space that's taken up in what you think people think about you, what people think about your body, what you think about your body. And that's what creates so much depression and anxiety around body image, disordered eating patterns that aren't healthy or fulfilling for your body. And also self-confidence can hit the absolute floor. Like, if you're feeling not so great in yourself, like you feel so self-conscious, you're not going to go out and start chasing your dream job, or you're not going to start working on your future career. Like, if you want to study something at uni because you're feeling crap in yourself, you're not going to go and date the guy that you think is great because you feel like you're not good enough. Like, it's going to stop every area of your life. So I think this is such an important thing to start working on, and how it's going to help you is massive.
Yes.
And again, this is an ongoing journey. It's not going to happen beautifully overnight. But the point of this talk today is the awareness of the body neutrality exists, if you might be someone who doesn't know about it, and something you can start practicing bit by bit, day by day, to help work on yourself. If we can get some freedom from that obsession with your body, I think it's going to bring so much more energy into your life to think about other things and actually help you focus on realistic health goals. So many parts of the fitness and health industry are still really related to exactly how you look. Like, there's a difference between wanting to grow your muscle and get healthier and stronger and see more definition, and wanting to be a certain body fat percentage, or wanting to fit into a certain size, or wanting to look a certain way on a stage, or all those sort of things. They're completely different, even though they're both based around a different appearance. I think it's important to have realistic health goals about, you can go to the gym, you can want to improve your body composition. That is totally fine as a goal, but it doesn't need to be this certain
number
or picture or way that you perceive it. And that's going to be so much more healthful when you get to a certain body composition. You're like, I'm feeling good within my body. My body's healthy. It needs to be at this happy weight. Or not always a weight. It can be a body composition.
We've recently done a whole podcast on some of that stuff as well. But I think for me recently, it's been a massive journey of, I actually looked in the mirror the other day. I'm like, oh yeah. I stepped on the scale. I'm like, I'm like, no. We don't do this anymore. Yeah. Like, you looked in the mirror, you're fine. Don't let the number on the scale define whatever you saw before. But then also focusing really on eating for health rather than focusing on dropping weight and doing things. And then learning some new skills has been a really nice shift for me. Just taking all the pressure away, not having a set thing, and like not stepping on the platform again, or focusing on a certain weight and just learning something else. And the things will flow with that. So eating for health means, well, should I eat the 10 cookies? Because my skin's probably going to break out. Probably not. What is going to make me feel good? Probably not eating the 10 cookies. And having one, or having a glass of wine with my friends at dinner, has been quite refreshing because I've never used to do that. am I going to go and have wine every single night? Probably not. It's not aligning with my goals, but it's really important to just stop the obsession of everything in your life. And I think what I have learned is that if you are a perfectionist and if you like to control things and things around you or in your environment aren't as controllable as you like them, it's quite easy to then control that food or that body image or that talk and talk negatively around you when there's other things out of your control, because that's like that obsession thing. So I think it's really, really important to make sure that you set realistic goals so that your body, your language changes, because you can actually achieve those goals rather than like, oh, you didn't go for the run again, or you didn't do this again, or you didn't, you knew you were going to never do this, you knew you were going to fail at this. I'm like, no, you have to change the goals to be something where you do not have to internally beat you up every single time, because you never once going to do that anyway. It's not important enough to you.
The goals should have an actual holistic reason why you're doing them, to help you become a stronger version of yourself, not necessarily a skinnier or...
Yeah, we're not running to get skinny. No. We're running for mental clearance.
Exactly. We're lifting to feel strong, to build muscle, to have strong bones, be strong old
strong
grandma.
Strong grandma. 100%.
It is 100% a better place to be in with your mind and body. So what are ways we can start working on body neutrality and actually bring it into your life? Because it's one thing to know about the concept, be like, yeah, cool, I can see how that's a beneficial concept. And there's another thing to practice it in real time, because on those harder days when you are wanting to judge and criticize and beat yourself up, it can be really, really hard. But if you keep practicing it day to day, it's going to help you a lot. Now, first things first is mindful self-talk. We have had just a recent podcast on this whole topic, so please go and delve into that if you want to look more into it. But your thoughts and your language that you use to yourself are so powerful. They really, really, really affect how you act, how you behave, what you do, and of course, how you see yourself. So if you can, start noticing, first of all, the negative or judgmental thoughts, and start flipping them for either more neutral, I think neutral's easier, neutral thoughts about your body. So if you are finding, oh my God, like my legs look so awful today, it's like, no, actually my legs have gotten me to the gym 3 times this week. They help me walk upstairs. They are fine. It's just this awful lighting, which is 9
change rooms.
Oh my God, just get out of the change room if that's where you are. It's not a good vibe. It's going to help you so much to practice that little awareness factor of not going down the automatic mind spiral down into self-judgment and criticism, because it's not going to be an awesome place to be.
Yeah, one of my favorite things is probably to unfollow accounts on Instagram where you start to compare yourself to in not a good way. I think you can compare yourself as an inspirational way, or like look at other people and like, oh, that's really cool what they do. But as soon as you're like, oh, why don't I have that? I think that's a bit of negative comparison where you're like, oh, either question why you're having that negative thought or just unfollow. Like mute them, unfollow them if you don't want to unfollow them. Mute them. But it's, I think it's really important to make sure that you surround yourself with people that are encouraging you, that are more encouraging into more body positive things, but also into different shapes and sizes, and that you really get rid of all the things that don't make you feel good, because time's limited. Like, there's no point on scrolling through socials and then feeling worse after. So I think it's really, really, really important to follow accounts that inspire you, that make you feel good, rather than questioning yourself after.
Yeah, if you're following hundreds of accounts that have really unrealistic beauty standards, or they even have filters on or fake things that you can't even, they can't even attain, it's going to be quickly become your norm of what you see all the time is that's how women look, or these, you know, top level women are, which is not true at all. So it's super important to make sure you've got a diverse and body neutral content. If you can actually find people who you can follow that have bodies that are just all different shapes and sizes, but also do promote this sort of content, that is amazing, because then you can actually have a little bit more self-acceptance, because it's constantly coming up on your feed. Any stories you see repeatedly, they become your beliefs. So if you have these stories always coming at you, you're going to feel so much better that this is the norm, not self-judgment or making yourself perfect is the norm. And yeah, unfollow or mute those accounts. As soon as you get that cringe feeling inside of that you're not good enough, you're not beautiful enough, you're not strong enough, you're not a certain shape, just unfollow them straight away. If someone gives you that feeling, I'm sorry to that person, they just need to get off your feed, because it's not a good way for you to encourage a beautiful mindset towards yourself. And we do spend a lot of time on social media. And so if that's where you're spending your time, that's where your thoughts are going to go.
Also probably reduce the social media time altogether. Yeah.
Yeah, if you can reduce it. Yeah, I always find it really interesting talking to people about their social media use, but also their social media world. Because, like, you know, if you click on someone's explore page on their Instagram, it's completely different depending on what person it is. You almost see a little snapshot of their personality. Yeah. But I find it fascinating what someone, you can see what someone believes about their world.
Yeah.
So obviously I have a few clients that are like this, but you can, you know, they'll show me their feed and I'm like, wow, that's what you look at. It might be full of celebrities or like, you know, Love Island and shows that are like really, or those sort of shows. And they're not really part of my world. So I can start to see where they start to get some ideas about bodies or how to behave or what's a normal relationship, you know, all that sort of stuff. And it's fascinating to me. Mine's actually mostly fitness, horses and cats.
mine's all fitness.
And yours is all fitness.
It's crazy. I never get cool things. I have all the fitness things. And I looked at my friends' and it's like so different. Yeah. Hers was like car and luxury things and like all these stuff. And I'm all, couldn't care less about them on my feet. I don't want to see just the fitness stuff either, but it's super interesting. But
that's what you can... That's what you consume the most of. So probably you start to get all these awarenesses and beliefs of the world around you that are very heavily based around the fitness industry, just because that's what you see all the time. Yeah. And I'm the same. And you don't 100% realize what goes through some people's minds or who they're comparing themselves to, or whether it's the bloody Kardashians and their $18 million plastic surgery.
I literally had someone message me the other day and she's like, oh, is oatmeal bad for you? And I'm like, oh. She's like, there's this TikTok trend and it all goes about how shit oatmeal is for you. And I'm like, okay. Oh. And she sent me a couple of things. And then some of the stuff was definitely saying like it's shit. But then some of the stuff was debunking people saying that it's shit.
That's
so I'm like,
confusing.
See, like it's so confusing. This poor girl. I'm like, no, if you are maybe gluten intolerant, probably don't have bloody oatmeal. And oh, it's just a nightmare because everything's a trend these days and everything's like, it's bad or good. It's no in between. I'm like, oatmeal is totally fine. If you have five bowls of oatmeal every day.
Neutrality.
Yeah. It's like, it's a different story. But all these trends and like, I think there's the whole body positivity trend as well. I'm like, you're either here or you're there. What's fifth in between?
Yeah. Nobody loves the old poor old gray in between. It's going to be black or white. Oh, that's
what
so
converts.
Painful,
that's what gets attention.
Yes, you're so right. Yeah. And that's what it's about, is that short attention span. What's going to trigger people most? Is it black or white? That's what's going to trigger people the most. And unfortunately, that keeps creating those beliefs and ideas. And if that's all you've seen about food or your body, or it's, you know, those classic, do these 10,000 exercises to get your abs this way, or like slim your waist, or they use all those buzzwords like get rid of your hip dips. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's what you're going to believe if you've never seen anything else. Oh, it's so painful. So please, let's have that little step back. Look at your feed. What's actually coming at you? Is it a message that you want to be aligned with? And hopefully listening to this episode, you're getting a bit more self-awareness as to whether you do have a more critical body image, or whether you do have some ideals and standards that might not be where you want them to be, and you want to actually have a little bit more acceptance for yourself. Have a look at your social media accounts and what you're looking at. When I was growing up, it was all the magazines.
Oh, yeah.
All the Dolly magazines and all those sort of ones. They were awful. Awful for, like, what to wear, how skinny you should be, what diet you should follow. But, of course, everyone kind of followed the same ones because there were only the magazines that were available. I follow a really good lady, actually, on Instagram, Danae Mercer, I think her name is. But she's very, very into body, you know, just accepting how your body is. You know, her body is... shape. She's got cellulite, she's got different shape, but she's also quite slim. She's gone through pregnancy, like she's gone through lots of stuff in her life and lots of body image. And I find her very refreshing with how she comments on body image and acceptance. But also she did these really powerful ones about, I wonder where I got these body image problems from. And then she just plastered all of these videos and magazine articles and like literally real ones from
I remember
growing up.
Seeing the magazines and they would like find the celebs at the beach and then circle in their cellulite.
Yeah.
So I'm like, really?
It's bloody rough.
I'm like, I train and I still have cellulite. Like what are these poor people meant to do?
Exactly.
It's part of the body. Like
it's
get over
painful.
It.
If you're sitting there thinking that about a celebrity who you look up to, who you see in movies, of course you're going to pick apart your own body and not think that it's good enough. So yeah, have that little bit of an audit of what you might have seen across your whole life and have a we might have to wipe that slate. Yeah. It's not easy. It's very not easy to do that. But let's try and limit your exposure to those unrealistic beauty ideals.
Yes.
You'll feel so much more refreshed. And also I find following accounts like Danae will help you a lot. Just mm-hmm. be like, you know what? There's I'm okay the way I am. There's lots of ways that you can look and be, and it's just okay. Next thing that is super important to help working on body neutrality is to do activities you love and stop focusing on just how your body looks mm-hmm. or doing things to
new
just
skills.
Improve
new
your body.
So much
and instead, fun. Yeah, learn new things, have fun, and engage in activities that make you feel really strong, capable, happy, and focus on what your body can do. So, I mean, we love training. That's our thing. And that's been such a beautiful playground for us to learn about how your body can feel strong. Yeah. It can feel powerful. It can lift weights. It can move things.
Yeah.
You can
just get really in tune with your body as well.
Mind-muscle connection. You have body awareness. It's just such a powerful place to be. But there's also lots of other fun things that you can do and try that you might enjoy. You might be a runner. You might be someone who enjoys running. You might love Pilates. Like, that might be your thing. If you have activities that make you feel really connected to your body, you're going to have so much more respect for it. Yeah. And so much more love and connection for it.
And I think on the other hand as well, if you have been a runner and it's not your thing anymore, it's also okay. You don't have to be that obsessed with that one sport or that one thing, because you can change. You can try new things. Like, don't be a runner then if you don't want to be a runner. Like, it's fine.
What's cool is your body can do lots of different things, and bodies of different abilities can do different things as well. Like, you might, as you age and change, you may not actually be able to do what you could do when you were a little bit younger, but that's fine. You can try new things that your body can do, and it's still there for you your whole life. I think my favorite perspective on this topic is to think of what your body is doing for you.
Mm-hmm.
So what it's trying to help you with, because most of the time it's just trying to keep you safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's trying to help you get through a day and work for you. But if you can be grateful, even the small things it does, like it keeps your digestion going every day, like your lungs breathe for you, your eyes see the world around you, your arms can hug people, all that cute little stuff. You can think about what your body's actually doing for you.
Yeah.
It's so amazing. And you just beat it up for...
I know. My,
not looking the way you want it to.
My biggest fear in life, if I had like one thing where I'm like really, really scared of, is that I get sick or I lose a limb or something. Like something where that's going to impact all the things I love at the moment, which is the training and all of those things. So that's one of the biggest things. And I started listening to the audiobook of The Girl That Fell from the Sky.
Mm.
And you know when you're like, this is going to be hell dramatic now, but if you are someone that had an accident or that's going to get taken away, imagine how much regret you have for hating that body that once was able to do so many cool things for you, and now you have to relearn to love your body in a body that can do less. So I think we just forget. We take it so for granted that we have legs that are functioning.
Can you explain what happened in that book?
So the girl that fell from the sky, I think she's Australian, but she went skydiving. And her parachute didn't open.
And
the emergency parachute also didn't open. And then they both opened at the same time. So they got tangled and they crashed. Her instructor, they both survived. So I'm only halfway through the book. They both survived. The instructor took full fold. He forgot something to take with him for that plane thing. And the day before, she didn't go for a run. She was a runner.
Mm.
And the day before, she really couldn't find the motivation to go for a run. And then when she lost the ability to walk, she was just like, I wish I would have gone for that last run because it was so important to me. And I think we just take it so for granted being able to move and do things. And having a family member of my family sitting in a wheelchair, I think I've always been a bit more appreciative being able to do those things. Or on the other hand, being really, really scared to lose those abilities because I've experienced it both ways.
Yeah, that's true.
And my uncle literally lost the ability to walk out of like nothing, like random. So it can happen to anyone. And I think that's why it's really, really important. And now I know this is like a super deep topic change, but just putting it into perspective that you should be really, really, really grateful that you can move your body.
You're so right.
Yeah, so you just stop beating yourself up like you have a body that functions.
I think a perspective shift like that can be very powerful. Sometimes it can be very morbid, but also really important to think, wow, I have so much ability and the privilege I have in this body that can move and can do things is actually incredible. And literally you could like start doing so many things that you never thought that you would do before because of that perspective shift. So.
Yeah.
And on the same front, some people can be very inspiring when they've gone through something 100%. As hectic as losing a limb or having an accident, and because they've seen that perspective shift firsthand, obviously, and they've been able to do still incredible things. But at the same time, if you do have a body now that works for you, that's amazing, and be very grateful for what it can do, and treat it with activities that you love doing with it.
Yeah.
I also saw another, again, I do like to fill my Instagram with really supportive, beautiful posts. She's actually Lauren Henshaw, who owns Kick. She's co-host. She had one post like that where she just had a picture of herself, and then she just pasted little comments of what those parts she could see on her body, what they could do for her rather than what they looked like. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was really lovely too. It's like, wow, like you could look at your eyes and be like, oh, my eyelashes are so small. That's me, who gets fake eyelashes. you know, you can be like, oh, my nose is this long and I don't know, my back is like this and my hair is the wrong colour. And you're like, well, no, actually all of those things do incredible things for you every day. Like, you know, you see with your eyes every day. You know, your nose can smell beautiful smells. Like,
that's so true.
Know, if you do have arms at work, like you can do so much with them and you can hug people. It's just little things that you don't think about because you have them every day and you're privileged to use them. Are incredible.
Yeah, I think it's, I like the idea of, you know, when they say put a baby photo of you on a fridge or something, and like, would you say that to your best friend? Would you say that to your little
self?
And flip it, like, what would you tell your little self? That's like, what you should be telling yourself.
You had that awareness just before, like listening to how your mum responded to certain comments, and you give that kind of mirror back as to what her, throughout her life comments of skinny have meant to her. And then you're like, well, if I had a daughter... Like, I obviously haven't had that experience, so don't know. But like, what would you say to them?
Yeah.
And then if that person was you, what would you say to them? Like, that perspective shift changes in a second.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you wouldn't tell them that they're not good enough. You wouldn't tell them that their legs are too big or that their, you know, eyelashes are too small.
I had a friend where the mom was very much like that, and she would tell her she's big and, like, she needs to lose weight. I'm like, I cannot imagine, like, that. Just the poor girl is going to feel even more awful about all of this because the mom's like nagging on her, and it's just going to spiral down. It's,
break that spiral and break that cycle, because I think most of those projections come from the insecurity women have had throughout the ages on their own bodies based on everything we've talked about before. There's always been in some way, shape or form ways that women have been talked about their bodies. But it's important to break that spiral and be like, it's okay for your body to be just the way that it is, and the things that you do for it are to help it and heal it, not necessarily to change it.
And if you can't break that spiral by yourself, then you can seek support. There's nothing wrong with seeking support. I think I've touched on this before. I think everyone should seek support at some stage in their life and talk to a therapist, talk to a counsellor, especially if you just can't get out of it and it's affecting your day-to-day and you just feel mentally drained and you just look at yourself and you're really upset with the way you look, go speak to someone. There's incredible people out there. Yes, it might take some time to find someone that you gel with. And I think it's just like a PT or anyone else. If you're finding a good therapist that works well for you, you might have to do a couple of therapist hopping and find the one that you enjoy talking to.
Really get along with.
Yeah, and that understands you, where you feel comfortable sharing all your things as well. But seek the support. So important.
Yeah, like I said before, if self-image and the way you perceive yourself is taking up a humongous percentage of your day and your life, that's not affecting your mental health in a positive way at all. So seeking out help can be the most powerful thing you could ever do for yourself and free up so much mental space to actually be the person that you are, rather than hiding under all those layers of repression you've had from years of other people telling you things and you telling things to yourself. So yeah, we're always an advocate for a good, healthy therapist chat. The secrets they know.
I know. And just be compassionate to yourself. Yeah. Like, really understand that no one's perfect. If, like we said before, if there's people triggering you, just remove yourself from those situations and be kind to yourself, just like you would talk to that little one, to your little self or to your sister or to your friend. Like, say the things that you would say to them to yourself as well.
It's so important to have self-compassion. It doesn't always have to be like, you're the most perfect thing in the whole world. Oh, you're amazing. That, I mean, that can sound nice every now and then, but it can have the opposite effect sometimes if you don't believe it. But you can almost always believe that you're okay, because you can say nobody's perfect. That's fine. You can have kindness and you can have love and you can be the way that you are and be accepted. That is so, so possible. And it doesn't matter what you look like. As long as you're healthy and happy and you're working on yourself, you're on the right track. Let's keep challenging these societal norms that come up, every trend that comes up that's based around body shapes, sizes, or what should be, you know, this shape for this season and you should be this thin. Oh my God, just get rid of them. If we can work together as a community to get rid of that, it's going to be such a more beautiful place. Women can be less critical to each other and themselves. We can actually get move forward in the world rather than picking our bodies apart. Oh my God, it'll be such a whole new world to have a neutral look towards your body. And just accept it the way we are.
Yeah, it's neutral. Yeah, you can still want to improve yourself, but you're also okay with the way you are right now.
And that is where we need to be.
Yeah.
We've said this a few times, nobody's perfect, including us. So I love to share this concept and this topic because the more people talk about it, the better. The more we can understand ourselves, the better. And if I can live in a world where this is part of just a normal society rather than beating ourselves up and constantly attacking our bodies, oh, what a beautiful world that would be.
One of my favorite things as well is having like a little jar with like things that you like about yourself. I make new clients that sign up to my Stronger Challenge. I make them do that in one of the first weeks is finding like 20 things about themselves that I like about themselves and then 20 things that I like about their appearance. So it's going to be not just the physical stuff because there's so much more about you that you can like about yourself. And then whenever you have one of those negative body days, you just look back at the list. You're like, I like my arms because they can do these things. Mm. I like my eyes because they can see things. I like my nose because I can smell delicious fruit with it. I don't know. I think it's really important to just have a bit of both and be a bit more neutral. Not everything has to be black and white.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you so much for listening. Subscribe to hear more and stay updated when we release any episode. But we would also love for you to write a review if this episode has resonated with you and you are going to practice some more body neutrality. Remember that nothing changes if nothing changes. Reflect on what you've learned today and message us your key takeaways. Write down some more body positive, body neutral things. And until next time, keep showing up for yourself, take action for your health, and remember that you are powerful.